If you would, please turn to John chapter 15, starting in verse 26. That's on page 902 in the Bibles around the room. If you are online or if you are here and do not have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is a gift to you. If you are online, let us know in the comments. Send us a message, say, hey, I want a Bible, and we'll contact you via email and send you a Bible wherever you are at. For now, stay seated. In a minute, we will stand to read God's Word. This is part two of a series as we're walking through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, in what's known as the Last Discourse. And what we're titling it is Jesus is saying, basically, hey, we need to talk. He now has his closest disciples, his closest followers. Judas has already left to go and basically betray him. And so now we have 11 disciples around. They were up in the upper room. As we saw, they left from there. Now they're on their way to where Jesus is going to pray, not my will, but yours be done, as he begins the process of taking the wrath of God on himself for us. That is our bigger context. Last week, we had 4 points. Well, we had 2 points, and then we'll go over the next 2 points today. The points are this: be biblical, stay biblical, be faithful, stay faithful. Last week, be biblical and stay biblical. See, what do I mean by be biblical? Well, God has changed us positionally. As we saw last week, we were caught in our sin in the domain of darkness. But as we see in Colossians 1:13, because of our belief in Jesus, it says this: he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And I think it's important, as we talked about last week, to remember who you once were, that you once were blind, but now you see. You once were dead, and now you are alive. Because that gives us a perspective on the way that we look at the world and the way that we look at other people. And it keeps us from that high-up judgmentalism that's so often known for Christians, and those criticisms and judgments that come from those that claim to be followers of Christ. I think oftentimes it's just because we forgot who we were. And so our call is to be biblical, that God has changed us positionally, that our position was dead and darkness, but he transferred us, given us the gift of faith to be able to put faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose again on the third day, that he took our sins with him on the cross, and when he rose again, he granted us life. Not only do we believe that, we affirm that. Not only do we affirm that, we trust in that with our very lives, true biblical faith. See, our authority, our constitution, if you will, is not the Constitution, it is Scripture. That is our ultimate authority. We see this in John 17, starting in verse 14, in Scripture we read last week. Jesus is saying this, or praying this to the Father, in what's known as the high priestly prayer. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. And then what's it say there? Your is... Let's try that again. It says, sanctify them in the truth. The word sanctified means to make them more, set them apart, make them more like me. That's our understanding of sanctification. So sanctify them in the truth. And then what's it say, church?
Your word is the truth.
All right, thank you. Your word is truth. And our call is to be biblical. To be biblical. To let our lives come to be an exposit of Scripture. That our lives come from the text, and to not go, again as a review, to not go beyond what is written. Where the Bible is specific, we are specific. Where the Bible is ambiguous, what are we? Ambiguous. When there's an implication of Scripture, we voice it as an implication. When it is an imperative of Scripture, we voice it as an imperative. We get our guide from the Scriptures on how to live our lives. As Peter would say, he has given us all things that we need for life and godliness. And so our call is to be biblical. And then not just be biblical, but to stay biblical. Based on God changing our position, we have now a changed perspective. And as I said last week, we need to have a bigger picture. This is what it means to stay biblical. And when we remember, and as Jesus even says throughout his life, you will suffer. Bad stuff is going to happen. He's going to say in a minute, as we read last week, people are going to kill you and think they're doing God a favor. But God is in control. He is good. And he loves us. And it helps us keep a biblical perspective based on the truth of his word. I think sometimes we think, and as I've said before, sometimes we think that God is like a cosmic bellboy. In other words, he's there to serve us and to serve our needs. And prayer is like us ringing the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, I need some comfort in my life. God, will you provide? And God has a bigger picture for our lives. He's less concerned about your comfort and more concerned about your faith. And the economy in the kingdom of God is not comfort, but instead faith and grace and love, things like hope. And we see him pushing those things into our lives because he's a good father and he loves us. And because ultimately we're like children who always want candy and ice cream and cake and cookies. And I could go on. You get my point. But God is a good father who says it's not always what's best for you. And to have a biblical perspective when these things happen, because they will happen. And the good news is that you are not alone. You are not alone. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 15, starting in verse 26. I'm just going to be reading to verse 4 in chapter 16. It says this: "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Verse 16, or chapter 16. "I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them. This is the word of the Lord." Before you sit, please join me in a word of prayer. And while I pray, will you pray for us and pray for me? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit, asking that you would now take your word through me, your servant, and bring it to your people, whom you love dearly. Lord, this transfer can only take place because of your Spirit in our lives. So would you now fill us with your Spirit, Lord God, and that the preached word this morning would be a means of grace by which we would be sanctified, that we would be grounded in truth, and that we would come to believe a little bit more and have a greater confidence in who you are and what that means for us by the time we're done. Again, God, this is a miraculous transaction and we need your Spirit. And so prophetically speak to me and through me to your people for your glory and our joy. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Be biblical, stay biblical. Be faithful, stay faithful. Why are we here? Have you thought about that? In other words, why are we here? And Jesus even says in John 17, 15, it says this, you'll see this up on the screen, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one." In other words, Jesus prays to the Father, like, don't just take them up. And wouldn't it be great? And again, let's just say a lot of this moment. That the moment you go down into the water, you come up out of the water from baptism and you just go straight to heaven. Come on, somebody. Like, that would be spectacular. It'd make for a small church, and baptisms would be kind of sad. But nevertheless, like, it would be, like, just this fantastic, like, we get saved, We confirm it to God's people. We go down into the water, lower in the likeness of his death, and come up out of the water and raise in the likeness of his resurrection, and then boom. And that would also help to see if people's faith were real. You ever thought about that? Like how cool that would be if you just come up and you're just waiting and you're just like, bro, you must not believe because you didn't. Let me just try it again. Hold them down a little bit longer. See if it'll take. But that's not the case. So then it begs the question, why are we here? Like, why did God leave us on this earth? Well, we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit, and we are now on mission with Him. Let me read verse 26 again. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. And then verse 27, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, we are here because we are on mission. That whether we are in our local city going to school, going to work, whether we are a house mom, whether no matter where we're at in spectrum, retired, wherever, we are called to be missionaries. We are called to be on mission. In fact, I love it when we have a missionary come to visit. And what happens when that missionary comes to visit? Everybody gets inspired, right? Like, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to Asia. Like, I want to do all those things. And what will happen is someone usually comes up and says, hey, I want to, the church to support me to go on these things. And do you know what my first question is to them? Are you on mission now? Because if you're not on mission now, you're not going to be very efficient as a missionary somewhere else. Don't let the sexiness of being a missionary make you think that, oh yeah, that's for me, when you don't realize you're called to be a missionary right now. Right where you're at, in your home, in your work, in your school. Like, that is our calling. Now, why do I say that? Because Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to bear witness about who? Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to come and bear witness about Jesus. And then He says, and you also will bear witness. And then we get ourselves to the point where we understand that, like, things like the Great Commission, what He says right before He sends, right before He ascends into heaven. And that's why I want to remind us all of our mission statement, which we kind of re-upped on in this last year. We are a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. We are a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. Now, positionally, there's been a change. We are now a family. We once were in darkness, now we're in light. And then God, we now give our lives to what Christ gave our life for, which is the church. Like, we're called to be the church, a family of God. And we see after Acts, I don't know, around I think it's 18 or so, the word disciple begins to drop off, and we see words like brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we get the idea that believers, followers of Jesus, are by implication a family made up of a local body called the church. And we're part of a universal, invisible church. We are the visible part of that invisible reality. And so we are a family. And there's been, so then it begs the question, why do we exist? Well, we came up with four fours. We are four people. You see that in there if you kind of break it down. In other words, we are four people. What does that mean? We are four loving people that walk through those doors. We are for our city. We are for our culture. We are four people in the sense that we want to see people come to find and follow Jesus. And so we love people regardless of economic status. We love our homeless population. We serve the poor. We do these things because we love people. You see, Jesus, when He says, love God and love your neighbor, doesn't give a caveat to as long as they're a lot like you. Instead, He says, Good Samaritan, somebody that was racially, politically, and religiously hostile. Samaritan comes and saves a Jewish man that was beat up half naked on the road. And that's the way that we love regardless. We go out and we love people. But it doesn't just end with just kind of like this directionless love. There's a direction to our love. The direction is to find people or to help people find Jesus. That's why we exist. So we are four people, and then we are four people to find Jesus. Why? Well, I think that we sometimes forget that the greatest thing in the world is to come to know the grace of God and have a right relationship with Him. Amen? And I think we've heard that message so many times, especially if we've grown up in church, they forget how awesome that is. When someone gets baptized, what about when you got baptized? Do you remember going down into the water? Coming back up and hopefully people celebrating around you? Where that understanding of, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you remember that? That's why we help people find Jesus. Because we want other people to know who God is and to be made right with God, let alone the implication that by the time they die, which we'll study next week about judgment, that they will have to face sin, the punishment of sin on their own. How many of you guys know that's bad news? Who wants to do that? That's not a good time. When God gives accounts, because we will, for all the sins we've done against God, I need somebody to mediate for me. I need a mediator. Because I can't. Is there a lawyer I can call? Public servant? Like, is there anybody I can call to mediate for me? And Jesus is like, yeah, I will. Man, that's good news. And so we help people find Jesus. But we don't just help people find Jesus. We help people follow Jesus. We are for people to follow Jesus. Because we understand that the best life lived is a life following Christ. Not just a believer in Christ. Not just a kind of like a nominal Christian by culture. Kind of that's what I put on my voting thing, and you know that kind of, no, we want people that actually understand, live by the word, and as 1 John says, we walk as he walked, and we teach, because when someone gets saved, they don't understand what it means to walk like Jesus. And so for those of us that know how and have been through and have had those war wounds of faith, we then share our wisdom and teach people how to follow Christ. We are for people. We are for people to find Jesus. We are for people to follow Jesus. Why? Because we're for Jesus. Amen? Because we are for Jesus. Because we make a real... Thank you, somebody. Come on now. I'm feeling kind of Pentecostal today. I need some love. So we are for Jesus. He is so awesome, is he not? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who will one day crack the sky open and come to judge the living and the dead. That is our Savior. By which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Matthew 28 is where we derived our mission statement of we are a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. Matthew 28, before Jesus ascends, he tells his disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is what we are faithful to. When I say be faithful, we're faithful to our purpose because this is why we exist. You guys realize this is not our home, right? Like we're pilgrims in this land. The scriptures would say sojourners and exiles. Like we have, like Jesus, as we learned in this area of John, that Jesus is going to do what? He's going to prepare a place for us. And so in the meantime, we're here on mission, aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit to bear witness about Jesus. And before I move on to the next scripture, I just want to remind us, there is nothing more amazing than aligning yourselves with the Holy Spirit. And finding yourselves as the Holy Spirit is bearing witness into your life, and then you bear witness to somebody else, tell somebody, testify about Jesus Christ and the great works that He's done. Man, just that there's something magical, something mystical that takes place. There's power there. And as Acts 1:8 says, you will see power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We tap into that. Why? Because that's what we were created to do. That's why we're not up in heaven right now. We have a job. We have a commission. And we are called to testify, to bear witness of Jesus Christ. Because this is not our home, we're pilgrims in this land. Look what it says in 1 Peter, up on the screen. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Why? Key. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into light. Any guesses who that person is? Yeah, if you're not sure, just say Jesus. It's a Sunday school thing. Come on, guys. Any guesses on who that is?
Jesus.
Thank you. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, where we get the idea of family. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, positionally, we are changed. Our identity is now chosen, royal, holy, God's people. Why? That we may proclaim. It goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, in other words, as pilgrims, this is not our home, saints, to what? To abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul, to keep your conduct among the Gentiles, in other words, among unbelievers, what? Honorable. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You see, when we're here on this earth, and why it's so important that we believe we are called to love people, is because at the end of the day, when your walk matches your talk, then they won't have a choice but to go, something's up. Like something's going on there. And that may lead them, that may be based on because they don't receive mercy, but then they're going to enter into judgment. And that's not a good thing. We don't have control over that, who God brings in. But I know this, that as we conduct ourselves among unbelievers, we're called to be honorable. Let me say that again, because this involves politics. This involves disagreements. It involves mask wearing. Uh-oh. I just stepped on everybody's toes. You're welcome. Because when we're debating on these things, it's not if we agree or disagree. It's that we're honorable in the process. And the way by which we make our disagreements, the way that we communicate, the way that we post on Facebook, the way that we, what are all these different areas of social media as well as our communication, it's called to be what? Honorable. Apostle Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Not I love his little caveats. Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Man. And we get so caught up in the minutia of politics and mask wearing and all these crazy things. It's like, are you doing this to the glory of God and your joy that you may win some? To the mask wearers, wear a mask. To the non-mask wearers, don't wear a mask if your convictions hold true. Like this thing is like such a small whatever type nothing compared to the glory of God and our joy and our purpose as a people. Man. Like when our eyes go from being biblical and staying biblical and then being to be faithful to our calling and our purpose, then all this other stuff that we so easily get entangled in begins to fade away. And we're like, you know what? I'm going to do all things to the glory of God and my joy that I might see some saved. May we remember who we are and why we're here. It's not for comfort. It's not for pleasure, though we do have comforts and pleasure. It's for the glory of God, that we may align our purpose with the Holy Spirit's purpose and bear witness of Jesus Christ. Because let me say it again, you are pilgrims in this land, and this is not your home. You have positionally been changed and transformed. You are the church. You are the representation and ambassador of Jesus, by which He, through us, has entrusted to us the greatest message of all mankind, ever. And that's that Jesus Christ has come to save. And so we remember these things, to be faithful. Now, faithfulness means to be trustworthy, dependable, reliable, and consistent. One of the ways I like to define it is long obedience in one direction. In other words, we're just kind of keep walking in one direction. And to be honest, it's what separates the men from the boys in regards to Christian maturity. Like at the end of the day, if two people get baptized on the same day, and one is inconsistent in church serving, giving, reading the Bible, and prayer, and the other one is consistent, dependable, like steps into these things, then the Christian maturity, the maturity of this person, you can see it. And their witness and fruitfulness in their life is legit. Whereas those that are unfaithful, you can see the struggle along. Now, I'm not saying whether they're saved or unsaved. I'm not even going there. But the point is, though, is that you have an intentionality. You have a choice in your sanctification to be faithful. A 100-year-old lady was asked the day she turned a century old, what advice would she give in all her years? Now, she thought for some time and said these three words: just show up. Just show up. And then what I love about wisdom, especially those of the older saints, is she just let that sit there for a long time. Like I am right now. I just turned 50. I don't know if I'm old or not. I don't know. I'm in the middle. Just show up. Just show up to church. Just show up to prayer. Just show up to community group. Like, be consistent at something. Just show up. You can see the fruitfulness of faithfulness in somebody's life. I think I've missed one game of Silas's soccer games. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying that's a fruit of God's faithfulness in my life. And that one game I missed is because I was out of town. When Jake was, my older son Jake was in a play at Dos Pueblos over there, even though I'd seen the show, I think it premiered for like a week, I was there every single night. Why? Was the show different? No. But I was there to support him. Like, just show up and be faithful. Now, in context of what that looks like with God, just show up. Stay faithful in your church attendance. Quit flaking out. Like, just show up. Be here. And watch what God does. And as God does that work in your life, watch how then fruitfulness comes out of that as you begin to hear and be exhorted from God's word about what it means to be a witness for Christ. Just be faithful. Be faithful to who you are and be faithful to your calling. Chapter 16, verse 1. I have said these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. To be faithful and stay faithful. Now, I'm fairly confident. Like, I'm not positive, but I'm fairly confident we will not experience the tribulation that these 11 disciples did that Jesus is currently speaking to. Every single one of them, except for John, died for their faith. Peter, historically, is known as being crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner of Jesus, his Lord. John, our author in our gospel this morning, it is said that the Roman emperor Domitian commanded that the apostle John be boiled to death in oil. But as history goes, John only continued to preach from within the pot. Come on now. Like, tell me that doesn't inspire you. Just being boiled in oil till you die, and you're just like proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And some of the history goes, he wasn't even harmed. And in fact, everybody that was there, I can't verify this. It's a part of church history. It could be a little, I don't know. But that everybody in the Colosseum that was watching this death got saved based on John's proclamation and the miracle that he stayed alive. When they couldn't kill him, they sent him to the island and banished him to the island of Patmos, where it is rumored that he wrote the book of Revelation. Would it not be a glorious thing to die for Christ? Some of you guys are like, eh. But I mean, think about it. Like, you think, like, the movies that we watch, right? Like, the movies that inspire us. Let me just speak to the men for a second. The movies that inspire us are the guys that are willing to give up, sacrifice their life for something greater than themselves, right? Like, we just kind of relate. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but, like, I just, like, ugh, like, I love that stuff. To be faithful and to stay faithful, it's to not just let our minds go to the glorious thought of dying for Christ, but it is the glorious thing to live every day, every moment for Christ. That's real faith. That's real faithfulness. To not just look for the big glorious moment where you're just like, oh, I'll take a bullet for Jesus, right? Like, you know, like if you like you kind of root in the scenario, like you got to line up and deny Jesus. And this happened not too long ago, just recently. The church is still being persecuted today. This is still happening in our world. We're just so far removed from it, we don't see it or don't like to read about it. But this recently just happened. Line of people, all they had to do was deny Jesus. All of them got shot in the head. And we're just like, yeah, like, man, like if there was a lineup, if the doors were busted in right now, everyone had guns, all you got to do is deny Jesus to walk out those doors and be free, go pick up your kids from our kids area. What do you do? I think the guys are like, yeah, at least looking around, I think most of us would be like, yeah, I'd die for Christ. Here's the thing. Real men live for Christ every day. And the minutia, and the small things, and the prayers for our wives and our kids. We get up early in the morning and seek the Word, and we pray. We beg the Holy Spirit to use us and give us the strength for each day. That's faithfulness. That's what it means to be faithful and to stay faithful as Christians, as the family of God. And that may we all at the end of our life say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. My 4 points. Be biblical, stay biblical. Be faithful, stay faithful. Number one, be biblical. In case you didn't hear it in community group, that means read your Bible. In case you weren't sure what that meant, it means read your Bible. Now, these aren't going to be on the screen because there was... too many to list, but pick up your Bible and read it and study it. Be intrigued. Like, go through. Sounds like a boast. I've read this thing a ton, but I still, every once in a while, I'm like, no way. What the? That's so cool. What? Greek commentary, Hebrew, like, start pulling stuff out. I mean, there was one time, and this might be a confession, I studied for like 5 hours and got completely lost in the 2 genealogies in the gospel about Jesus. Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it. But read and study. Like, ask the Holy Spirit to bless you. Read it in big chunks and then study it in its context. If you need it, get a study Bible to help you understand it. The ESV study Bible not only goes along with what we read, not the page numbers, but the words that it says, the translation that it is. It's also a great resource. Get the Bible app by life.church, which has reading plans, and then memorize Scripture. Yeah, I said that. Why is that a lost art? Like, memorize Scripture. Be biblical. Stay biblical. Let the text inform you on the perspective that you have on how you live and the way you look at life. Like, for instance, when you take these little things and go, okay, it's coming down again, and I think all of us, maybe it's just me, experienced a little PTSD when we heard that the mask mandate was coming back and, like, get that, like, anxiousness going on. But for me, it was like, well, how do I have a biblical perspective on this? Be biblical. Stay biblical. Be faithful. Align your purpose in life with the Spirit's and share your life with Christ with others. And that remember that we are a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. And then stay faithful. Just show up all the time. Fight the good fight. Live for Christ in all the small things and keep the faith.